Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this pre-recorded program. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, June 15, 2020. Authorities in Western Equatoria say lawlessness and robbery is the order of the day in Yambio.
My change was stolen when I loaded my things in my store. Even food which I bought for my kids, I put it inside the store and it was all stolen.
And some South Sudanese are too afraid to donate blood.
Since the outbreak, COVID-19 outbreak, we don't have many voluntarily donation people who are coming in to donate. The higher people who are coming now to donate blood are the family members, which we call family replacement.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan Army says its forces have killed the leader of the 7th October rebel movement, a new rebel group that was formed a few weeks ago. The Army spokesman, Major General Lul Roy Kwong, tells South Sudan in Focus that Karbino Wall was killed on Sunday evening. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Major General Lul Roy Kwong confirmed to South Sudan in Focus today that Karbino Wall was shot dead by South Sudan government forces.
I would like to confirm indeed that Karbino Wall Agok, the leader of October 7th movement, was killed yesterday at 8 p.m. at the village called Yan Mayar in Amongping area of Rumbek East County in Lagos State.
Kwong says Wall was killed following military operations launched by the government forces against the rebel fighters.
He was with some of his small force, and we have been engaging them in the last 4 days. Our forces from 16th Infantry Brigade of 6th Infantry Division have been engaging them in the last 4 days. They have been pursuing them from one location to the next. And yesterday at 8 p.m., our forces succeeded in pinpointing his location at the village I've just shared with you.
Kwong says 6 people were killed during the clashes, including 3 of Wall's fighters and 2 civilians. He also says other 7th October movement fighters were captured alive but did not provide further details. Wall announced his new rebellion against the government nearly 2 weeks ago. Speaking to this program, Wall said his movement would fight President Kiir's government and remove it from power. Kwong says the government intentionally launched their operations against the Wall's forces to stop his rebellion against the Kiir administration.
You remember he had made an announcement that he had founded a new rebel movement called the 7th October Movement, whose military objective was to overthrow the government. Of the day, basically to overthrow the government led by His Excellency President Salva Kiir, and we as the army have a constitutional mandate to protect this democratically elected government.
Kwong says government forces gathered information on the movements of Wall's forces and learned they were in Ayen Mayer village of Rumbek East County where they were attacked. Wall launched his rebellion months after he was freed from prison following a pardon by President Kiir. He was sentenced to several years in prison for terrorism, spying, and insurgency. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Residents and local leaders in Western Equatoria State say Yambio Town has seen increased cases of lawlessness and armed robbery. Major General James Mande Enoka says police officers have arrested some suspects who will appear in court of law after investigations. The Western Equatoria State Acting Administrator says some of the perpetrators of the crime are members of the organized forces. For VOA News, Siba Martin Murangi reports from Juba.
Yambio resident Alex Alijab says when he was away from home one night a week ago, armed men robbed his house. He said family members told him the men ordered them to sit and keep quiet while they searched the house for valuables.
My things was stolen when I loaded my things in my store. Even food which I bought for my kids, I put it inside the store and it was all stolen. I'm also begging the government at least to deploy police to do patrol so that at least to prevent such incidents like this one, because this issue of robbery here in Yambi.
Emmanuel Samuel, another resident in the state capital Yambio, says aside from armed robbery, armed men have also raped women and girls across the state. He says a week ago, an 8-year-old was raped.
It is true that we had this incident of rape case that happened in Yambio, where an 8-year-old girl was raped by a 28-year-old man. And that's where I'm talking, actually, as a citizen of Western Equatoria. The man who raped the lady is already in the prison, and we are hoping that the justice should prevail.
Samuel is calling on the police to protect the citizens and their property. Major General James Mande Noka, the Western Equatoria State Police Commissioner, admits the crime rate has risen in the past 2 months across the state. Speaking by phone from Yambio, Enoka said a violent incident occurred on the Yambio Zara Road on June 6th near the Masia Market.
Our captain, called Daniel Fodut, was actually returning home. He was ambushed. A lot of fire was lit on him, 6 bullets. He was hit on the left thigh. People ran in. He was evacuated to the hospital where he's now taking medication. On the scene of the crime, a motorcycle belonging to one of our officers was found. One of our officers called James, second lieutenant James Mator. He became the first suspect.
Enoka said police are on the lookout for Lieutenant Mator. He says he believes some security forces are engaged in crimes because they have not been paid in the last 3 months. Some opposition members who were supposed to report to cantonment sites for training but have not done so are also responsible for criminal activity, according to Enoka. Commissioner Enoka says police are trying to end the lawlessness that has become pervasive across the state.
We study the causes and make a strategy to bring down the rate of crimes. And this is the case now, because we have deployed police and joint force doing day and night patrol. We have the presence of the police all over. And then we are supported by the community policing, the youth. They are cooperating with us. So we are doing our best. But what's actually affecting our effort is there are other forces who are outside our control, who have not moved to containment sites. They are still within the state, and they are not being given service. They are not being given food. So they are within Western Equatoria. So what do you expect them to do? And they have guns. So.
Major General Mande is urging the citizens of Western Equatoria and in Yambio in particular to remain calm as the police work to apprehend and prosecute the perpetrators. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Murange in Juba.
June 14th is the World Blood Donation Day. Officials at the South Sudan National Blood Bank say the number of voluntary blood donors has dropped following the outbreak of the coronavirus in the country. A manager at the Blood Transfusion Services in Juba says many people are afraid to donate blood during the COVID-19 pandemic. The official says restrictions on movement imposed to prevent the spread of the pandemic also made it difficult to mobilize people to donate blood. For VOA News, Manyang, David Mayar reports from Juba.
Dozens of donors sit on benches lined up outside the blood donation center in Juba, where they fill out clearance forms to donate blood. Narek Wall, manager of the Blood Transfusion Services Center, says the center is usually full of voluntary donors, but that all changed a few months ago.
Since the outbreak, COVID-19 outbreak, we don't have many voluntary donation people who are coming in to donate. The higher people who are coming now to donate blood are the family members, which we call family replacement. The more we have voluntary donation, the more we're saving lives. especially people who are in critical conditions.
Wall says COVID-19 restrictions on movement has also made it difficult for officials to carry out awareness campaigns about the importance of blood donations.
With all this social distance now, we cannot go out and we risk other people and put them in, you know, we can risk the staff, we can risk the donors themselves. So we can go and campaign there, but we can still mobilize them.
Wall says the blood center's staff has resorted to calling donors on their list and asking them to come and give blood. National MP Chok Ajak Awol says he was contacted by the center and showed up yesterday to give blood. Awol says many people need blood and COVID-19 should not be an excuse for him or anyone else to stay at home.
There are other things that we need to fight. Our children, our mothers in hospital, and myself, if I got accident, I need the blood. So the blood I give today will be given to me if I get accident. And people need to turn out and come and give the blood.
Awol says today is the 31st time he has given blood. He says most of his colleagues who used to donate blood are no longer doing it because they fear it will weaken their immune systems.
I've called all my colleagues. I told them to come and give the blood. But unfortunately, they said, we are afraid because maybe I'm weak, I have coronavirus. If I give blood, I would die, simply. So I came alone and I was the first person to give the blood here now.
Juba resident Chual Gang believes if he donates his blood now, he will compromise his immune system.
I cannot give blood because of coronavirus. Because of if I give blood while coronavirus is around, my body will be weak. That is the reason I cannot give blood.
Dr. Richard Laku, incident manager for COVID-19 at the Health Ministry, says there is no truth to the rumor that donating your blood weakens your immune system against COVID-19.
It's actually advisable every 3 months to donate, because when you give out the blood, this will activate the bone marrow where the blood cells are produced to generate a new blood cells that are fresh and energetic. So it instead give you more lively kind of, because the lifespan of the red blood cells is 120 days, 3 months. So ideally after 3 months, it's supposed to get tired and the body get rid of it. So if you give 3 months, it's like you are renewing your body and getting new blood, new fresh cells that are coming with more energy than the old one.
Dr. Laku says only people tested positive for COVID-19 cannot donate blood. Officials at the South Sudan Blood Transfusion Services say a healthy person has 5 to 6 liters of blood. Narek says only 450 ml of blood is drawn from a donor, which is enough to save the life of one adult or 3 children who need a blood transfusion. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Africans raise their concerns about racism in America. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you correct friends and loved ones?
I tell them the truth, because when I hide it, sometimes I have to tell them again and explain, which is not so fun. Yeah, it's easier for everyone.
You tell him what you have done is wrong. Next time, don't do like this, according to what he has done.
The first step I do actually is that I talk to the person. I sit back a little bit to be able to ascertain if it really went down with the person. To give the person a breathing space, just to ponder about whatever I said. And in the course of time, to allow process to have its way.
When they go wrong, I call them aside and talk to them. I tell them their behavior is very bad, so they need to stay away from it. And some of them get angry, but I don't care.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
Thank you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linar Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. U.S. President Donald Trump has bowed to pressure over an election rally scheduled to take place in Oklahoma on the Juneteenth anniversary that commemorates the end of U.S. slavery. Trump's decision to hold his first campaign rally on that day in a city notorious for a 1921 massacre of its black citizens had prompted fierce criticism in the face of nationwide protests. The rally has been pushed to the following day, but is being called dangerous move for another reason. AFP correspondent Ben Thomas reports health officials are concerned about the threat of coronavirus as thousands are expected to gather for the indoor event.
After months away from the campaign trail, President Trump plans to rally supporters next weekend in Tulsa, Oklahoma, despite the concerns of health officials. The head of Tulsa's health department says it is an honor for the city to host a sitting president, just not during a pandemic. Oklahoma has a relatively low death rate from COVID-19 compared with the rest of the nation, but new cases have been rising, and Saturday's rally is scheduled for a 19,000-seat arena. The city's health chief, Bruce Dart, tells the Tulsa World he's concerned about protecting anyone who might attend such a large indoor event, including the president. But Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson, himself a doctor, tells ABC's This Week,
"It is very important that we utilize what we have learned about the disease so that we can live with it rather than allow it to dominate us."
Ben Thomas, Washington.
The role of the U.S. military has come under intense scrutiny amid civil unrest erupting in the United States. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb explores the importance of the military's long tradition of remaining apolitical in order to best represent and protect the American people it serves.
The use of force against peaceful protesters in Lafayette Square by federal law enforcement, backed by the U.S. military's National Guard, sparked a nationwide debate about the role of the military in civil society.
And it created an image, I think, that I think, again, gets after this idea of eroding the trust and confidence of the military.
General Joseph Votel, the former commander of U.S. Central Command, who now serves on the executive board of the Center for Ethics and the Rule of Law at the University of Pennsylvania, tells VOA the military's core value to stay out of domestic politics is among its greatest assets.
An apolitical military serves the nation the best. It's what the intentions were of the founders, and it is one of the very important reasons why the American military remains the most respected institution in America.
Several retired top-ranking officers have spoken out after a presidential threat to deploy thousands of active duty troops to U.S. cities, a move intended for only the most extreme circumstances. And this audio leak of Defense Secretary Mark Esper speaking to governors about the protest.
And so, at my urging, I agree, we need to dominate the battle space.
When we can focus on the potential conflict in terms of dominating our own cities and our own people, it scares me to death, quite frankly. And if we don't do something about it, we'll look back and recognize this moment. This was the moment where really we need to do something.
Esper and the top U.S. military officer also walked in Lafayette Square with the president moments before he posed for photos outside a nearby church damaged during protests the night before. Pentagon officials have stressed that neither Milley nor Defense Secretary Esper knew of the president's plans and had only agreed to go to the square to thank National Guard members for their service. Esper has said he regretted his battle space comments, and Milley on Thursday called his decision to accompany the president in the square a, quote, mistake that he had learned from.
I should not have been there. My presence in that moment and in that environment created a perception of the military involved in domestic politics.
The military's apolitical nature is more than a tradition. It's in the military oath of office taken by every service member.
They're not swearing to support and defend the president, any president, whether he or she be Republican or Democrat. They're swearing to support and defend the Constitution.
Former officials have raised concerns that the president oftentimes ignores or forgets this very point.
The president has been really accumulating a sense of ownership about the government, where he make statements about the, this is my military, or my generals, or my judges, so that it becomes possessive.
And with a presidential election less than 5 months away, some worry that the current debate about the military's role in domestic issues won't be the last.
The military is going to be really tested because this president will try to draw them into his political agenda.
Carla Babb, VOA News, Washington.
A group of African countries has sent a letter to the president of the UN Security Council calling for debate on racially inspired human rights violence when the council meets next week. The request was sparked by the death of African American while in police custody in the U.S. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
In its letter, the African group says the events that have unfolded since the May 25th death of George Floyd have sparked protests globally against the injustice and brutality that people of African descent face daily in many parts of the world. It says the current racially inspired human rights violations, systemic racism, police brutality, and violence against peaceful protest makes a debate airing these festering issues a matter of great urgency. It says the death of George Floyd is not an isolated issue. The group of African ambassadors that drafted the letter notes many people of African descent have suffered the same fate due to unchecked police brutality. However, the crimes have gone largely unnoticed. UN Human Rights spokesman Rolando Gomez tells VOA the debate is likely to occur at the Council Tuesday or Wednesday when the UN body takes up Agenda Item 9, which deals with issues of racism and discrimination.
Structural racism and police violence are issues which are commonly raised by states and civil society at meetings of the Council, as are unlawful killings by police and racial bias in policing. And the aim, of course, is to prevent such abhorrent acts.
The African group's letter to the council president notes the uprising in the U.S. is a protest against systemic racism that produces state-sponsored racial violence and impunity for the perpetrators. It adds the protests the world is witnessing are a rejection of the racial inequality and discrimination suffered by Black people and other people of color in the United States. Earlier this week, the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations in Geneva, Andrew Bremberg, issued a statement expressing American horror, anger, and grief at the senseless death of George Floyd. He said the public reaction following this grave tragedy demonstrated the American people's desire to overcome racial injustice and to achieve a more equal and just society. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and the Africa Center for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Moudou. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Opi Yesu by Gerald Loboka and Godfrey from Nimule.
Madita zireri, ade kwanenera, madita ndureri, sa kesuara, majoti parari, joti karawenenera, yeah. Karawenenera, madita zireri, ade kwanenera, madita ndureri, sa kesuara, majoti parari, joti karawenenera, yeah. Karawenenera, oh. Molo etande yasa, baba nyemera nye, eh, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye.
Lazasa, Baba Nimera, Opi Yesu,
Baba Migeni,
Olulu, Yesa, Baba Nimera, Opi Yesu,
Baba Migeni,
Waluta, Kawasa, Baba Nimera, Opi Yesu,
Baba Migeni,
Oloetande, Yasa, Baba Nimera, Opi Yesu,
Baba Migeni,
Waluta, Kawasa, Baba Nimera, Opi Yesu,
Baba Migeni,
Mamosa, Yesu, Banya Tama, Aninga Mavosa, Yesu, Banya Yumato. Aninga mavosa Yesu banye tamato. Aninga mavosa Yesu banye yumato. Nyema itado se kumanya barai. Nyema yu manya barai. Nyema itado se kumanya barai. Nyema yu manya barai. Aninga mendeni avosa nye jagwato. Aninga matani avosa nye jagwato. Aninga madupi na avosa nye jagwato. Aninga mangoti na avosa nye jagwato. Hey Yesu.
Molo etande yasa, baba nyemera nye, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye.
Molo lazasa, baba nyemera nye, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye.
Molo lubi yasa, baba nyemera nye, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye.
Molo takowasa, baba nyemera nye, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye.
Molo etande yasa, baba nyemera nye, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye.
We've been listening to Gerald Loboka and Godfrey from Nimule with the song Opi Yesu. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for the coronavirus. Remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Master. banye meranye eh opi yesu
baba mi geninye
olola zasa baba nye meranye eh opi yesu.